You have enjoyed the series that we've been having about bearing the fruit of the Spirit. How many of you? Let me see. Amen. If for any reason you missed, some of the sessions, you can go to our website. Sister Lorraine does a wonderful job of updating or uploading the messages that we preach here on the every Sunday. You can go there and follow up so that you can listen, so that you can follow what the Spirit of the Lord is preparing us even for the year 2015. Praise the Lord. And I want to go straight into the Word. Last week we looked into some precepts in the book of Galatians chapter number 5. And we started from verse number 1. And let me see. And we saw how the Lord says that Paul admonishes the Galatians, and he tells them that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Amen. Christ has liberated us into freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has delivered us. It is for freedom that Christ died on the cross for the sake of each and every one of us. Praise be to God. It is for freedom that Christ has died on the cross so that he would set you free and so that you would not be under the law. We have found, we went through many, many scriptures whereby we found what it takes, the intentions of the law. When the law was introduced to us, it was intended to perform some good work. But when it found sin embedded in a sinful flesh, it inspired sin. It inspired the sin that was embedded into a sinful flesh, and work was begun by sin, leading to fruits of unrighteousness or leading to death. Praise be to God. But we found out that when Jesus died on the cross, he came, not his death actually was targeted to the sin in the flesh. And so Jesus says that I did not come to abolish the law, but I came to fulfill it. Praise the Lord. It's very, very important for us to understand the justification by faith, because that's a very, very, it's one of the major pillars of our faith anyway. If we don't understand justification by faith, we'll live a self-condemning life every single day. Every single thing that happens to you, you'll be saying, oh, you know what? God now will punish me because of this and that. And, you know, you'll be leading a life of, you'll be having self-guilt, and, you know, self-guilt will impede you from moving forward or from going to the place where God has intended for you to go. Praise the Lord. So it's very, very important to know that we acquire our righteousness. We've been made the righteousness of God, not because of what we have been able to do, but because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. And that should fill your heart with joy, to know that were it not for the death of Christ on the cross, we would be nothing. Amen. In fact, in the book of Isaiah, it says that self-righteousness is like filthy rags before the Lord, Sister Alice. Self-righteousness is like filthy rags before the Lord. So, in other words, we cannot please God by being good and by acting holy. And and by the way, you know, there are some in a certain church many, many years ago as I grew up, because my parents used to go to that church. And by the way, I'm not against any church, you know, like the Catholic Church or anything. But there was so much emphasis on on how we acted and how we walked and how we did things. There's so much emphasis on works. But I thank God, because when we get delivered, or when our hearts get generated by our Lord Jesus Christ, we know now this, that we cannot please God by our own acts of righteousness. You know, but it is through faith that we've been justified. Praise be to God. Very, very, very important concept, even as you move on and as you continue to serve the Lord. There's liberty when you know it. And that's why it says in the beginning of the beginning verses of the book of Galatians that it is for freedom that Christ did what? Saved us, that set us free. Praise be to God. Now, as we continue, also last week we found in a certain verses that the acts though the activities of the flesh are evident, right? And we went one by one through the acts of the flesh. And actually, that is not just all, because if you read where it talks about the works of the flesh, Paul writes to the Galatians and he says, and so he says, you know, there's the acts of the flesh. And as he concludes, he says, and the like. That means there are many more activities, or rather the works of the flesh. This is just the main, I mean, Paul was just writing this because this was what was prevalent among the Galatians. In chapter number 13 of verse number 5, it was emphasized, now that we have been liberated, or we have received the freedom that Christ has brought to us into our spirits, so that now there's no condemnation in us, we ought not to take advantage of the freedom that we have received so that we may fall again into the acts of flesh. Amen. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. And so we are going to jump into Galatians chapter number 22. And I don't want to dwell on what we dwelt last week because of our time. And you can listen. If you're not here, or if you forgot what we talked about, you can get a CD and you can refresh your memory about what we talked about last Sunday. The Bible says in verse number 22 of Galatians chapter number 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And the Bible says, against such there is no law. And those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the... Can we all say in council? If we live in the Spirit, let us all walk in the Spirit. Amen? Does somebody say something different? If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the... Thank you. Let us not become conceited. In other words, conceited. The word there, conceited, it means thinking about everything is about us. You know, thinking that we have achieved, thinking that we have arrived, and looking at anybody else as if they are nothing. That is what it means by let us not be conceited. Let us not only think that, you know, oh, I'm the one who has done this. Let us not have the Nebuchadnezzar spirit whereby, I've told you this over and over again, I like giving that example, whereby he built Babylon, and when he looked, he said, is this not the Babylon that I built by my own hands? And he was proud and failed to recognize that it is God who had enabled him to build and to be who he was. And immediately after he did so, the Bible says that God withdrew his identity from him. And he made him as an animal. And he grew feathers like an animal. And he ate grass like an animal. Let us not feel like we have arrived and we have made it by ourselves. Let us recognize God in all that he does. Praise be to God. Amen. It is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Let me tell you, God hates those that are proud. And he says, all those, he knows. He knows how he works things around. If you are proud, he knows how to bring you down. Amen? You know, and those that are humble, those that humble themselves, he lifts them up. Amen? It is a wonderful, wonderful experience to learn how to humble ourselves. For when we humble ourselves, we know that we have positioned ourselves in a place where God can come and raise us up to the place where he wants to be. Praise be to God. And so as it concludes there, it says, where are we now? If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, as we focus on this text, there's something that the Lord was speaking to me over this week, and he was speaking to me about how he has created each one of us to be productive. Amen? You know, whether you like it or not, God has created you to be productive. And whether you know it or not, even your body, it by itself, It does things that you may not really be aware on a minute-to-minute basis. In other words, you may not really monitor, your heartbeat. You may not really monitor that there's a cleansing of stuff that goes on in your body. How many of you, at every single minute, are worried whether my liver is excreting some stuff from my body? How many of you worry? How many of you even are aware that your heart is beating every time? Involuntarily, even without, do you wonder? Do you think about it every second? You go about doing stuff that you do, but whether you know it or not, there are stuff that are happening in your body. Even as I talk to you, Gide, there's stuff that is taking on in your body. Amen. Your body is nothing else but an entity of production. Amen. God has intended for not only your body, but everything that revolves you to be productive. In fact, if we don't find ourselves being productive, there's something wrong somewhere. And we need to investigate and find out what is wrong and why am I not producing? Why am I not developing? Why am I not going from one level to another? There could be many things that would impede your development. It could be maybe powers of darkness that are impinging you, so that many times you make a 5 step forwards and it's like there's a string that is tied from your legs and you go 5 steps, but then you move forward, backwards, first step, and you're trying to make some steps and you're going back. God has intended for you to be a unit, an entity that produces. Amen? For example, in the red blood cells, I was reading somewhere, in fact, it really mesmerized me to learn that the body, the bone marrow produces red blood cells at like 2 million a second. Have you ever thought about that? That right now, there are 2 million cells that have been created, even, maybe now 6, maybe 10 right now, 10 million, as I finish that statement. And you may not be aware. Did you know that your body produces stuff? Your body produces insulin that breaks up down the sugar. And that's why for people who don't have, the production of the inability to produce insulin, then they get into a point whereby they are not able to break that sugar down and they have a disease called diabetes. Let me tell you, you need to thank God when you're healthy. Amen? Many times we take things for granted. And many times we think that things just happen. No. Your life by itself is a miracle. For you to wake up from subconsciousness and to suddenly just feel that I'm awake, it is a miracle. And you need to be thankful whenever you wake up. Especially when you're not connected or you are so assuming about certain things that happen in your life, it's very easy for you to wake up and you assume that it was normal for me to wake up and you go about your businesses. You kick the blankets and you go you wash your face and you take breakfast and you go and do the things that you're supposed to do. No, that's not how I'm supposed to do. When you wake up, kneel down beside your bed. Or even when you recognize that you have received back your consciousness. I read somewhere and they were saying that it is good. They were saying that when you go to sleep, it is good to put your house in order because you are sleeping into a state of subconsciousness. You're not guaranteed that you wake up tomorrow. How many of you sleep one knowing, tomorrow I'll do this, tomorrow I'll do the other, tomorrow I'll do the other? It is good for you to say, God willing, tomorrow I'll meet with you. Is that what the word of God says? It is always good to incorporate that word. Always do it. When somebody says, can we meet tomorrow? Yes, God willing. Because you never know when you sleep whether you're going to wake up into consciousness. In fact, somebody says that when you're asleep, it's like you are dead. Because who knows what goes on when you're asleep? Except whenever you're having a dream and you think you're alive. No, you're asleep. Amen? So say, when you're doing this thing, say, if God wills, I will do this and that. And I'll do the other and the other. So let me not digress from what I'm telling you. What I'm saying is, your body, everything about your body, when you cut your hair, there is production of new cells that make the hair follicles or whatever they call it, the hair produces. Your body, there's the old one, the cells become dead and they cannot no longer perform the function of what a cell is supposed to function. What do? The body has a mechanism whereby, and you know, I'm talking to nurses and I'm talking to medical people. So if you find that, like, I'm sleeping a little bit, tell me, Pastor, hey, you did something wrong there. Okay? But I think I know that, you know, the old cells just die off and the body produces new cells, right? To replenish the cells that are already dead. In other words, you think about it. You know, when you are attacked by a disease, the potential of that disease attacking you is dependent on the productivity of some antibodies from that are produced by your body. Amen? If your body says, today, Gideon, the disease cold that has attacked you, and I have gone mad, I have struck, I've gone on strike, I've stroke, you know? I have gone on strike and I'm not producing some antigens, some antibodies. Guess what? That flu can kill you. But because of the production, the body is always alert. Can you think about it? The body is always alert. That whenever it senses and feels there's a cold coming near you, Alice, the body tells, oh, you know what? White blood cells produce some things. We produce some soldiers to go and fight these invaders that are coming to your body. And before you know it, you might be taking Kafenol, you might be taking aspirin, but in reality, your body has done a lot of work before you take that aspirin to fight that cold. In other words, your body is an entity of production. Amen? Your body, God intended everything about you to produce. And that's why we are reading about the production of a fruit of the Spirit, producing, replicating the character of Christ. And the Bible says that the Lord is interested that when we bear much fruit, it brings glory to him. So when your life depicts the character of Christ, guess what? God in heaven and the angels in heaven are rejoicing because they are seeing the character of Christ being blended into your life. Hallelujah. Now, I want us to go very quickly into the gifts, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I would like you to note that Paul writes to the to the Galatians, and he speaks about the fruit of the Spirit. And I wondered, why does Paul write about this very, very delicate virtues that are developed by the Spirit of the Lord as a one fruit? And, you know, I couldn't help it, and the Lord told me that, you know what, when you walk around and you see, say, Sister Elizabeth, you know, you see her as herself, right? Right? You have never gone out and saw the hand of, say, Sister Winnie and say, oh, you know what? I met the hand of Sister Winnie, you know, in Walmart. You've never gone and said, oh, I saw the leg of Brother Wanganga, you know, just walking by the parking lot. But you see the entirety of him. Yet the Bible tells us that the body is made out of many, many parts. So every part that makes you does not work independently, but works together as one entirety of the body. And so the Spirit of the Lord was telling me, it is so with the fruit of the Spirit. The things that Paul speaks here as the fruit of the Spirit, the nine concepts or the nine virtues that make up the fruit of the Spirit work together so that they can make the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, when the Spirit of God begins this work, whenever he starts work and whenever he is introduced into your life to come and replace sin in your life, he starts a work. And so when that work is towards the work of being accomplished, or when the work of the Spirit is maturing up, you are able to see the expression of what the Spirit of God is doing. And so you are able to see this concept, all of this concept that make up the fruit of the Spirit. And we are talking about love, we are talking about joy, we are talking about peace, we are talking about long-suffering, we are talking about kindness, we are talking about goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. It all makes up, they work kind of independently. They don't work independently, but they can't depend on each other. In other words, when the Spirit, and I'm going to break it down to you, when the concept, when the this delicate virtue of love and joy and peace begins to come or comes forth into your life, then it invokes, in other words, it's like the process of the work of the Spirit automatically defaults into kindness, goodness, faith, and gentleness, self-control. And the Bible says that against that such, there's no law. I'd like, first of all, to talk about the first three of the virtue that makes up the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the Bible says that the kingdom of God is made out of righteousness, peace, and, come on, say with me, righteousness, peace, and joy. You remember that song that said, righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. So what's the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace. So the kingdom of God is made up of righteousness, peace, and joy. And so when we are talking about the first three concepts, the love, peace, and joy, it is these are virtues that are related to what God is. In other words, when we get into a relationship with God, the first things that we get, and I love how Paul puts them, I believe he put them in a chronological order or in an order that we all be able to understand. We get love from the Lord. Amen? Now, when we go to the book of Matthew, there's one person who, a disciple of Jesus, he asked him in Matthew 22, 36, 40, teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied and said, love the Lord God, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. Somebody say amen. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Now think about this. All the prophets and all the men of God who came before us, the Bible says that they hang on these two commandments. That love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. And the second commandment is love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, if you go into the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, I believe, it's a love chapter. We all have gone there and we have read about, you know, about love. It tells us about what love is. If I speak in the language of men, thank you, Sister Lorraine. If I speak in the languages in the languages of men and of angels, but not have love, I am a sounding gong or a clinging cymbal. Verse number 2. Okay. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith so that I can move mountains but not have love, I am nothing. Verse number 3. Okay. And if I donate all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned but do not have love, I gain nothing. Verse number 4. Okay. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love is not boastful. Love is not conceited. Remember that word? Love is not conceited. Love does not act improperly. It is not selfish. It is not provoked. Does not keep a record of wrongs. And so on, as the Bible tells us about love. Go read that. It will bless you. Praise the Lord. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. So in other words, God is love. Amen? God himself is love. And so he says, the first and foremost things or virtues that we receive out of a relationship with Christ, first of all, we are introduced into what love is. Amen? We understand what love is. And we have seen in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 13, that love is not the things we think is. We speak in tongues, and we speak in tongues of the languages of men and of the angels, and we do not have love, then that is invalidated. So in other words, doing all the things that we think are necessary in Christendom without love, love validates everything. That's what it says. In other words, love validates the activities and the call of ministry and the things that we do for the Lord. Amen? If we do anything without love, God invalidates it. If we give our money without love, without being enthralled or without being persuaded or being... if anything we do is not instigated or is not persuaded by the love that has been planted in us, then it is useless. It is like a sounding gong. Amen? Are we all together? So God introduces us to his love. And so when we know the love as God wants us to know it, This is what happens, is that joy, and when I'm talking about joy, I'm not talking about an expression of or the absence of sadness. Joy is not the opposite. I mean, the joy that is being talked of in the Bible or being spoken to the Galatians by Paul on verse number 22 is not the opposite of sadness. You know, we'll say, you know, you're not sad, so you're happy. So joy cannot be counterchanged with joy. But joy, it goes, is a deep expression of knowing that now there's no condemnation in me, and the joy of the Lord becomes your strength. No wonder the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So it is that joy, when you have received, when you know God, when you have accepted God as love in yourself, then the concept of the joy of the Lord that becomes your strength is able to percolate into every area of your life. Amen? It percolates and it enters into the corners and crevices of your life. And so, this joy, it will make you have the confidence of facing whatever comes in your life just because you know that there's love in your heart. Praise be to God. And then the Bible talks about peace. Just want to go because we don't have much time. It talks about peace. Now, I want you to know that the moment that we accepted Jesus in our hearts, the moment that we accepted love in our hearts, and the moment there is the overflow of joy in our hearts, amen? You invoke enemies that would come to attack you. You invoke enemies. The devil is so mad about this relationship, and he wants to do anything that he wants to do to come and discontinue this relationship that you have with God. Amen? And so what happens is the Spirit of God knows that you need the peace that surpasses all understanding. Now, I would like you to know, peace is not the peace that we receive from the Lord. The peace that we receive from the Lord is not the absence of chaos. Amen? Are you listening to me? True peace comes not from the absence of trouble. Sometimes somebody says, or we think when we are doing this journey about the Lord, we think that, you know, we have peace or we'll experience peace in the absence of trouble. That is not the peace that God gives you. Amen? That is not the peace that Paul is speaking here in this context. It says, true peace comes not in the absence of trouble, but from the presence of God. Are you listening to me? So when God is resident in your life, the peace he gives is not like the peace the world gives. Amen? And we sing about this song, we say, this peace that I have, the world cannot give it. Amen? The world will give you peace, but the peace that the world will give you is temporary. And why? How do I know it? You will have money today, and you will enjoy the money, and you will think that you have peace, and the next moment, you don't have the money, and you're in trouble, and you feel like, where is the peace that I had? But when God is in our lives, praise the Lord, somebody. When God is resident in my life, I know that I have peace. Amen. The peace that surpasses human understanding. That's why Paul wrote, I believe he wrote to who? Let's read this. Do not be anxious about anything. Philippians 4, 6, 7. Do not be anxious about anything. He is writing to the Philippians, the believers in Philippi. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Amen? And the peace of God. This is the peace that he's talking about. And the peace of God, Sister Winnie. And the peace of God. Hallelujah. Which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Oh my God. This is exactly what he's talking about. And the peace of God that surpasses what you know peace to be, the peace that is more comprehensible, the peace that you cannot even imagine. That's why you can find somebody who is well committed to the Lord and they don't have money, but they have peace. Amen? You can find somebody who has $4 million in their bank account, but they don't have peace. But a believer who may not have nothing, they have peace. Amen? Because this peace is not dependent on what you have. Imagine the Bible says, I believe in the book of Hebrews somewhere. I can't remember where. But it says, a man's life is not constituted in the amount of things that he has. Is it in the book of Proverbs? That a man's life is not made up of what he has. It is not in the abundance. Actually, that's what it says. It's not in the abundance of the things that you have. Your life does not constitute or is not made up of the wealth that you might acquire here on this planet. Amen? And I thank God because Paul writes this to the Philippians and it tells them the peace of God will guard you. Hey. And the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds. Let me tell you, brethren, I put it to you that there's a peace that God will provide when we allow the Spirit of God to work in us. He will introduce us to the peace of God that will guard your mind. Let me tell you, the Bible tells us that guard your mind with all diligence, for out of it, guard your hearts with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of your heart. Now, it talks interchangeably about your mind. It's not about this brain. It's not about your head, but the mind is the heart. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life. Let me tell you, without the peace of God, we are vulnerable and we can be attacked and we can lose our direction. But the peace that God provides that comes out of the relationship and allowing the Spirit of God to work in us, that peace that comes out of God is able to guard your heart. And no wonder people will be speaking things about you. People will be backbiting you in the place of work. People will be digging out trenches on your behalf. Do you know there are people who dig trenches virtually on your behalf? Because they want you to fall. They want you to disintegrate into the atmosphere. Hiya. You're looking at me like you don't know. There are people who laugh at you. But they are digging ditches for you. They would like you to fall on those ditches. But you know what? When you know you are God, when you have been introduced to the love of God, when the joy unspeakable has percolated into every area of your life, the peace of God will guard your heart and it will guard your mind. Amen? In Christ Jesus. So this points us, these three virtues, the love, the joy, and the peace introduces us to who God is. And the moment we are believers, the Spirit of God leads us to know the character of God. He introduces God's virtue in us. And the moment he does so, he says, okay, now I will introduce you into the next phase, which is the next three virtues of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And that's long-suffering, kindness and goodness. Amen. Somebody say with me, long suffering, kindness, and goodness. Now, when we have the love of God, when we have the joy of the Lord, and when we are enjoying the peace of God, the devil knows that you are a dangerous person. But also, when you have these things, you enter into a territory where you're vulnerable to attack. Amen. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But what does the Lord do? The Lord delivers them in all of them. Many are the afflictions of the. Can you say, I'm the righteousness of God? Come on, say like you mean it. I'm the righteousness of God. And so because you are the righteousness of God, many will be the afflictions that will come towards you. But God is preparing to deliver you in all your afflictions. Are you listening to me? The Lord prepares. He creates a way to come and deliver you out of the afflictions that you face. And so he introduces. He knows that my child, I know he has my seal. I know he has received my love. I know the joy unspeakable is his strength. And I know, I know that the peace of God guards his mind. And I can see demons trying to attack them. I have to develop some virtue in them so that they will be able to withstand the afflictions that come. How does the Lord make you escape all the afflictions come to you? It is the work of the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to develop long suffering in your heart. Why do you have long suffering? And what is long suffering? Long suffering is where you are not. Yeah. I was not able to buy my groceries today, but I know God will do it. I am limping and I cannot go forward. I feel like giving up, but I know that my God liveth. I know God, in spite of everything that I'm going through, God will come through for me. Amen? You're able to have that long suffering. You're able, you are not complaining. You know what? And I remember when we were talking about complaining, that we need to be very careful about complaining. God develops, it's the Holy Spirit who develops these virtues in us. Amen? Long suffering, kindness and goodness. What are you going to do when people come and when you have God in you, and that's the right time when you have the fullness of God, even the enemies that you never thought were your enemies will try to come and provoke you to anger. They will try to come and finish, try to distort your livelihood or to distort your business, as we were talking last Sunday. People want to bring you down. Let me tell you, many are your enemies if you didn't know. And the devil is working 24 hours to bring, to see that you are, you, to see you are down, to your downfall. But I thank God because he says, many are the afflictions of the saints, but the Lord delivers them in all. God knows that you need to be kind when enemies come to you. God develops some kind of gentleness, and he develops this virtue called, that is called kindness and goodness. When we were not born again, you know what we'll do? Somebody would come and slap me, and you say, you know what? A tooth for a tooth. If somebody came and hit you, you would look for something to bring them to their downfall, right? If we didn't know the Lord. But now the Bible says when somebody slaps you here, you also tell them, even the left side, I'm not saying literally. Maybe you need to run literally if this happens literally. You know what I mean? But what I'm trying to say is a figure of speech. I'm trying to say, when somebody hits you, do not plan to do evil back to them. Because that's not the character that the Spirit of God is developing in us. The Spirit of God is developing goodness. Amen? Let me tell you, out of the blue, somebody can come and begins to rain verbal abuses on you. Oh, unajiangaliaga. Unafikiria, what do you think you are, Sister Alice? Hey, you're trying to make up and you're trying to look beautiful and you're trying to show yourself that you can work for the Lord. Hey, you know what? Those people are being used by the devil to come and attack you so that you can lose the focus that God wants you to have in order to do work for him. Remember what God says, that God is glorified when you bear much fruits. You think the enemy is happy when you bear much fruits? Do you think he is happy? Because what happens when you bear much fruits? Who is glorified? And do you think God loves for God to be glorified? He would want God to come and accuse God and accuse you before the Lord. Hey, Lord, just touch them. Yeah, he doesn't serve you because of how you've protected his children and how you've given him business acumen and you've given him abundance. Is he not serving you for nothing? Accusing you every single moment. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. I want you to know now, if you didn't know, write it down. Say, the devil is the accuser of brethren. Don't give a chance to the devil to come and accuse, make accusations before the Lord to you. And if he does, the Lord will give you the acumen and the strength and the ability to withstand him like he did to Job. Are you listening to me? So the Spirit of God develops this fruit called patience, long-suffering. Why do you need patience? Don't you think there are so many things that we need patience today? God might promise you to give you a financial blessing maybe in an unspecified time. And in this generation which we live in, we are like microwave generation. We want things done right now, you know. Buy it now, pay later. Have you seen those things? We have this concept whereby we want to gratify our things right now. We have this concept whereby we want to acquire, you know, financial freedom right now. It's not going to happen. You may have to go through some night times before dawn comes. Amen? The night might be long before you come to the sunrise. But when you're going through the night, you would require that concept or that virtue that the Spirit of God is developing in you, and that is patience. I know that God is going to come through for me. I know my God liveth. I know the Bible says that God, I'm more than a conqueror. I know that I'm not going to bow to the devils of hell. I know that God is going to come through to me. I will pray until something happens. I'll pray for my child even though they are sick until I see a turnaround. I'll pray for my children. It doesn't matter what they are doing right now, but I know around the corner, if I can stay long enough, God is going to turn them around. I know I may not have the money to pay my bills right now, but who knows? Knows what is going to happen next year, because God might turn things around, and those that are laughing at me might wonder what is happening, because God is developing a virtue in your life. Don't look down on what you're going through, because the situation is temporary. Somebody say temporary. And do not laugh at your brothers and sisters just because they're going through stuff today, because you never know what God is going to do today. God is developing the Spirit of God. It is at work in their hearts, and he's telling them, if you can just tarry, if you can write your vision on the wall. There's a reason why the men of God said, write the vision on the wall, because if it tarries, it shall surely come to pass. Write your agenda on the wall. Go in your bathroom. Go in your closet. Make up a list of the things that you want God to accomplish in your life. Write them down. The Bible says, write it on the wall, even though it tarries, even though it delays, it shall surely come to pass. Amen. Are you listening to me? Patience and kindness. What are you going to do to those people who come and they are thoroughly wanting to bring your downfall? They are thoroughly wanting, they want to kuchimbia mitaro. The Bible says the Spirit of God develops that kindness. Now I want you to know that the society has tried many times to come up with virtues that we can develop. And if everything falls right in its place, the society by itself is able to help us to develop things that are a little bit less than this. For example, you can say that I am patriotic, right? You can say that I have courage. You can say I am generous. You can say I am prudent. I am able to have fortitude. And there are certain things that you're able to do. When everything is given its freedom to do whatever you purpose to do, you can do it. But to acquire what is written here by Paul to the Galatians, it takes the work of the Spirit. Genuine goodness will not come from you trying to have goodness unless the Spirit of God instigates it. Genuine kindness. Do you know kindness? Kindness is when somebody is coming in a kwambia, you know, and you know you have strength. Who do you think you are? Goodness is like, now, why are you attacking me? Why are you attacking me? Do you think that the concept can be developed by Giddy? Actually, the way you know him. He will tell you, Nyoko menya de wako. Duberi. The way you have ashamed me before this man, you wait. That's what his innate character will say. But when the Holy Spirit is developing goodness in this man, it doesn't matter how muscular you are. It doesn't matter how wrathful or how velocious you look or appear to be, because the work of the Spirit is at you. So these concepts are developed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh my God, we have to stop there. Amen. So this virtues are being developed in the Holy Spirit, because he knows that we are in an arena where we are prone to be attacked. Praise the Lord. In the 2 Timothy, chapter number 2 to 3, Paul writes to Timothy, and he tells him, endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen? Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In other words, we are told to be patient, to endure suffering. Things are going to come to us. But you know what? Even though stuff is going to we feel like the world is crumbling against us, God knows it. God is ruling and reigning. God is in control. Amen? And I read something that is interesting here, and then we are going to pray together. In the book of Proverbs 26:4. See, when the Spirit of God is working in you, and somebody comes velociously wanting to attack you, you're not supposed to cower down. You're not supposed to surrender. You're not supposed to, to answer them back or to act veliciously as they are. This is what the Bible says, Proverbs 26:4. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will also be like him. Hiya. Did you hear that? Do not answer a fool. You will know who a fool is, right? The moment somebody opens up their mouth, you will know whether this is a wise man or this is a fool. So if you know in your knower that this is a fool, do not answer them as they are talking, right? Sometimes you may have be forced to just keep quiet. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will also be like him. Ah, I love that. Praise the Lord. The next three, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance, we'll tackle next week. This is very important. Very, very, many wish you can know how faithfulness and how meekness and temperance affect us. But all this virtue work in hand with each other. And that's what makes up the fruit of the, it makes up the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? God wants us to be fruitful. God wants us to endure hardship and to endure suffering as the soldiers of Christ. We already have acquired love. We have the joy of the Lord, and we have the peace of the Lord. We have, and after we have that, God introduces us into concepts that will be able to help us even fight our aggressors. He gives us, he makes kindness in us. He makes goodness in us. Praise the Lord. And long-suffering in us. Praise be to God. Stand on your feet. I wish I have time to I have time even to express some of the things that the Spirit of the Lord has given me, but we have to stop there because of our time. Father, I thank you and I bless you. Your desire, Lord, is that we may bear fruits, fruits of righteousness to you. You rejoice and you're glad when our lives are bearing fruits, Lord. Everything that surrounds us, everything that is about us is supposed to produce. Father, help us, Lord, even to be entities of production. We'll be able to produce love to those that don't have love. We'll be able to produce peace that surpasses all understanding to those that don't have the peace, Lord. But out of our relationship with those people that need it, Father God, it will be replicated and it will be duplicated and it will be seen by them. And in so doing, Lord, they will see Christ in us. Thank you, Jesus. Father, you've told us in your word right now that we may follow the Spirit, that we may walk in the Spirit, and the desires of the flesh will not be fulfilled. I thank you because you're helping us. You're helping each and every one of us to understand your word. Your word, Father, is like a purifying water that cleanses us. Your word is like a hammer that shatters a rock into pieces. Your word preserves. Your word is powerful and alive. And I pray that this word, Father, will help us and grow and tend to produce. And as we declare, Lord, that this year is a year of productivity. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you because we're preparing to be productive and to be progressive in what we do. Lord, I take power and authority over every power of darkness in the name of Jesus. I declare and decree that no power of darkness will be able to infiltrate into the lives of any one of us. And according to your word, Lord Jesus, I pray that any afflictions that might be faced by these your dear ones, Lord, you shall give them victory in every single affliction in the name of Jesus. Father, your word says in the book of 1 Peter that our faith is more precious than gold that is purified with heat and high degrees of heat. Father, you've told us that our faith is more precious than that and that it's going to be tested. Father, I thank you because the working of the Spirit in us gives us the weaponry, the tools to defeat the wiles of the devil. We surrender our lives to the Spirit of Christ, that he may produce those things that will be a shield to the afflictions that we face, that will be weaponry to the things that we need to use in order to combat the wiles of the enemy. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, bless each and every family. Minister to each and every one of their lives in the name of the Lord. Give them victory. Give them success in all that they do, to the glory and honor of your name. I pray that as many as hear the voice of the Spirit shall rise up early, Lord, and stand in the gap on behalf of each one of us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We give you praises and we give you glory and honor. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Somebody who loves him, shout a big amen. You might be here and you've never given your life to Jesus. And you feel in your heart that there's a pounding in your heart that tells you today is the day. You've never given your heart to the Lord. Would never want to close you in. Is there anybody who has never given their life to Jesus? Lift up your hand. I'm going to pray with you. Is there anyone? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody who loves him, shout an amen. Hallelujah. God is good. And all the time. Amen. And that is his nature. Amen. Hallelujah. Would like to give a